Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh,
okay.
Hi, I'm Mijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. Back again.
We are hoping everyone has followed us along when we return every week.
Well, actually, people have been listening to both episodes, like, pretty much equally, which I'm shocked. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you, too.
We do.
but no, really. I mean, how could we leave our conversation with Brigitte and Ella where it was and not, you know, continue on to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race and continue on to talk about Georgia? We need to know about Georgia. What happened during the elections that happened in Georgia?
I know. The conversation came too easily. There's too much to include. Mm-hmm. We went over on time. Mm-hmm. Whoopsie daisy, but mm-hmm. We can't help it. We just get such amazing guests who are so interesting.
I know. This week's episode is thick. It's juicy. Mm-hmm. It's long. Mm-hmm. And size doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's just enough.
Mm-hmm. It's got a fuzzy skin you want to bite right into. Pluck it right off the tree. It's that Georgia peach.
Mm, Georgia peach. Mm. I'm not going to use the word that is coming to my mind because so many people find it offensive.
Could it be moist?
Moist. Stop! I mean, it's like, I don't find it that offensive. I find the word to be very erotic, and I feel like that's what makes people feel uncomfortable, because it's a word that so perfectly captures what that feeling is, and then people are like, oh my god, it's so gross, like, blah, blah. But it's like, you know, mm-hmm. when you're really laying it down, that shit better be moist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same with, you know, baking cakes and stuff. It's gotta be moist.
That too. So let's continue to ponder on that, and let's get
this Kiki back on the road.
Kiki back on the road, the COVID wisdom, elections and life in Georgia, and of course, Drag Race US.
Let's teach people something super quick.
Every year, more people die from getting hit on the head with coconuts than they do from shark attacks.
Like, dead?
It's not that many, because, like, only, like, one or two people, I think, die from shark attacks every year. The low teens for the coconuts.
Coconuts are hard.
Teach me something good.
Now on your local favorite podcast thing.
Yeah, all podcast things.
So, question. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot happening in the world. You know, there've been various crises. But what would you say that this period of time, what do you think, what would you say is your COVID wisdom? What have you learned from this time? What are you going to take with you when all is said and done?
Okay.
You want to go first?
What am I going to take with this? So I was talking to my therapist about this yesterday. So especially with, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, it's made me sort of reassess my thinking just in general of, like, white people are, like, programmed to always think that they deserve things, that they're the best. And Black people are a lot of times, at least how I was brought up, just, like, to be quiet, to be underneath the radar, don't get in trouble, like, do your best. But so through this whole process, I'm like, oh no, bitch, I'm the shit. And, like, I need to let everybody know that I'm the shit. And if in case you forgot, I need to remind you. And I do deserve things. So that's what this has taught me. Brigitte, you go.
I mean, something very similar, but not gained through your insightful perspective. But I agree that white people are stupid. I'm kidding.
No, it's, I can vouch. Yeah, white people are very stupid by and large.
Yeah, the lamest thing I ever did was be born white. But other than that, I have really considered about how I spend my time and like what I want out of life. Similarly to like just having your worth, like tending to your own garden. My ass used to pride myself on the fact that I was working every damn night of the week and in a dance company, like just working 25 hours a day, bitch. And for what? To be exploited by capitalism? Mm-hmm. No, ma'am. But also I need money. So booking at BrigitteBidet.com. Thank you. And I'm just really going to think about how I spend my time, what I say yes to, who I even hang out with, the things I want to see even on my social media feed. Like, all of that shit affects you. It goes directly into your mind, your thoughts. And, like, if we can try and, you know, make ourselves into the best versions we want to be, then we're able to, like, uplift other people and help them and make the community even stronger. All those things that we're kind of already doing, but being like, wow, I guess it was meaningful. Mm. I don't know. It feels like it gave more meaning to the things I was doing and like the path I'm on, having it be put on pause and just taking a step back and looking at, I don't know, what am I contributing to this world?
I mean, like, what better time than now? I mean, I don't know what it must feel like. What was it like living in Georgia over the past couple, because you've been there for at least, like, since from college till now. Like, what was it like living in Georgia, seeing a red state go purple to blue?
That I did not see coming from a mile away. You know, it was actually in October. I was in Arkansas for a dance project, random as shit. But we were discussing, you know, voting and doing workshops with people. And this production manager that was with us talking about how Georgia was probably going to flip. And for her to see that in her lifetime was so shocking. And I was like, wait, what? For real? Then I started getting more into the work that Fair Fight was doing and Stacey Abrams and really learning about the new Georgia Project, Future Coalition. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't even mention the fact that Georgia f***ing, like, change the world or whatever, but yeah, you're welcome.
That digital drop.
Thank you.
And it goes on to the bigger picture about life is like there's so much potential to like make things better, and we have so much more awareness than we did in just 4 years. It like aged us in such a crazy way, but yeah. Wow, the attack on just our own ideas and thoughts was insane.
And it's still happening, unfortunately, with a lot of the senators and House of Representatives.
But even before, like, 4 years ago, not realizing that you could be reading shit online that was from, like, a Russian troll farm meant to, like, destabilize your government. Girl, what the f***? I was trying to scroll through Instagram or Twitter. So, yeah, the fact that we learned that, fought it, connected ourselves even deeper to what we wanted. That shit's fierce.
But it also makes you think of, like, we didn't do anything groundbreaking. And Stacey Abrams just had it, her, the essence of her is, like, the sign of something that is we should be doing in general, which is making sure that everyone that wants to vote can vote and has the opportunity to vote. Because that's really what it is. It's just there was so much voter suppression. And it's just like we registered people to vote. And it's a model that can be carried out through any state.
Yep.
So it gives me hope in that sense that, you know, there are a lot of places that it was so tight. You know, the numbers were so tight. And Miss Abrams is trying to run for governor again. So we got to ramp this shit
but
back
she
up.
She had to lose the first. She lost the first time because it was stolen from her. And that motivated her, which was so much more impactful. And they registered like over 800,000 people to vote. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And the election came down to like less than 50,000 votes. I don't even remember because like trauma makes you forget things, but
11,000.
The thing that I remember was watching Stacey Abrams' campaign and really just being just watching. So I'm talking about when she was running for governor. And then I remember watching the speech that she gave when she lost. And she said, no, we're going to turn back. We're going to go. We're going to really, really work on this. And, you know, I've listened to a couple different interviews of people like talking about her, and literally she's been working on this project as have many people that are supporting Fair Fight. And one of them passed away, unfortunately, from COVID while working on this very same project, wow. Earlier this year, and literally like went from like, you know, like even the fundraisers to fund Fair Fight, and gave PowerPoint presentations on why like Georgia could be flipped. Why there's potential for this to happen. And then, you know, going town to town, person to person, and having one-on-one conversations just to register people. And I think we're kind of struck by a kind of complacency in terms of voting. You know, like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, my vote doesn't matter in my state because it's red, blue, this, that, or the other. But dear God, votes matter. Voting matters. We all have to vote. Even if you don't agree with me, you got to get out there and express yourself, because, you know, to not do that, that's some real privilege that you need to address with yourself if you don't think that your vote matters.
Oh, I'm hoping that people are finally realizing, and it looks like we are because times are so bad, that who's in charge really does matter. Mm-hmm. And you have got to make yourself have a say in it. It does affect your daily life, whether you like it or not. So make your voice heard. And I also wanted to say that Stacey did say on an interview once that she does not believe that Southern states are red states. They're just suppressed states. Mm-hmm. And it's about overturning the suppression.
You'll actually
see the will of the people.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but I'm just like, damn. Because
they're not red states. They're suppressed states. I mean, and look at how in Florida they overturned the ban on felons voting, which is like nationwide. Felons can't vote, which is horrible, and it's disenfranchising. And now more states are starting to work on overturning that.
Latrice Royale can now vote.
Hell yeah. God.
Hell yeah.
Good God, can I get a ballot?
Girl.
Oh my God.
But it's just amazing. So hopefully more things like that will happen. You know, just the last thing I'll say is that people hear terms like systemic racism, voter suppression. It sounds big and fictional and dramatic when it's like, no, it just means that some people aren't able to vote. And if you break it down like a human basic right or experience, then hopefully more people can get behind it.
Yeah.
Right. And this is something that has been since the beginning of voting, just in general. When Black people got the right to vote, white folks would stand outside of their voting precincts and like make sure that they didn't go in, or scare them to go in. It is
scary.
We have to work on it.
And those racist suffragettes too.
But well, exactly. Like, if it weren't for Black women, honey, this country would be down the shitter.
I was like, Black women did it again. They really just did it again. Like, Black women saving America. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine if we all wised up, and then the next like at least 7 presidents in a row were Black women?
Oh my God. Wow. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Make it right.
How they love this, like this female prime minister in New Zealand.
Jacinda
is serving what a Black woman would serve as president of the United States. She'd be like, you think you're gonna go outside? You think you're gonna not wear a mask? Oh no, honey, go home. Go home. No, we didn't call for you. We don't want you here.
We will pay you to stay home, which is literally what New Zealand did, which is why they were the first country to eradicate it.
So you guys need to look this up. On one of the I'm part Caribbean, there's a female prime minister I can't remember what the island is, but right at the beginning of COVID, they were going into lockdown and people were like basically mimicking the US. So they went and they bought out all the toilet paper. And so then the prime minister went on, did like a video that was released to the country, and she gave it to them. And I was like, this is what we need. She was like, what did she say? She's like, I told ya, you're supposed to have everything you need for hurricane. You're supposed to have water and food, and you're going to buy toilet paper. The shops will not be closed. What you're doing now? And she was just like giving it. And I was just like, this is why we need a woman in charge, because they will give it to you like your mom would. And then you'd be like, yes, mom. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Can you imagine if we had a president just yell at us?
Hello?
Just make us feel like we were being idiots. Just like tell us to our face.
I know.
Stop trying to say like, come on, everybody, stop fighting. We need to come together. No.
Yeah. Speaking of which, where the f is my money?
Like, girl, I still haven't got. Bitch, you got your $600. I still haven't gotten mine.
Okay. Well, I need more. Yeah. Because John Ossoff, he used to tweet every single day, We can get $15 an hour now. We just need to vote on January 5th. We can get $2,000 now. We just need to vote on... Okay, it is now January whatever, bitch. Let's make some moves.
It's February in a couple days.
This is such humiliation to the American people that we are just nothing. Oh, and I hope they do keep on going and making this veil of power thin.
It's another shit show.
We're gonna have to just see what happens, but you know what, every new stories are coming out every day, so you know, to be continued.
Well, and I want to see people continue to make the veil thin between power and people. The way we won the vote in Georgia, a victory.
GameStop.
The way we crashed the stock market, a victory. Okay, sorry, I have a mutual fund, so y'all chill a little bit. But at least we now understand, you know, the fraudulent nature. Again, we talk about Wall Street versus Main Street. I want more people to get the right information, mm-hmm. and maybe we could see some real societal changes, because mm-hmm. this shit's bullshit.
Yeah, it's ramping up, so hopefully we keep heading there.
I think we've learned that institutions are fragile, so we got to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And society, the way it shut down in a day because mm-hmm. of COVID, like our whole life was fragile. It stopped. It's like, figure it out.
So, question. Now that we are learning about the fragility of institutions, what did we think about this week's episode of You Has Drag Race? Did it uplift us in terms of drag in America, or did it take us down?
I thought you said you was drag race. I was like, wait, this bitch has a drag race now?
Not you, a Hamasaki's
on WAP Presents Plus.
Let me be more specific. Okay, so we come back into the episode and we are still talking about drama that happened in Untucked on the TV show. I'm like, like, I get it that something happened on Untucked, but you don't need to keep that conversation on the main show. Like, I was just like, I'm tired of seeing these queens fight about nothing. So, like, can we just move along, please?
Well, Candy's a shit starter, so.
Yeah, they're both hot-headed, and I don't know. I feel like I don't even know if I'm allowed to comment on this, being, like, a white person. Like, okay, not even trying to
be. I'll talk about it. No, just kidding. No, Brigitte, what?
No, but I feel like they're starting, you know, everyone was so obsessed with Tamisha Amon, and now they're starting to, like, give her this edit of, like, that cranky...
old black woman?
Yeah, just... they're starting to give her the edit of, like, she's being too aggressive or whatever that horrible term is used to describe
people. I kind of feel like she's the only one talking sense and not willing to back down.
No, I live for her. Yeah. Like, I love it so much. But the way they showed her kind of, like, following... or no, that was this week's episode, I guess, in Untucked. But following her to the door and being like, you got the wrong bitch today. Yeah. Okay, I was like, first of all, go off, because that was very Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like, do not fucking say some crazy shit to me and then
walk off and act like the argument's over. It's not over, bitch. I'm waiting for you outside.
What I'm saying is, like, this fan base has very racist tendencies, and I don't want them to go after her in defense of Candy and paint her to be this, like, angry black woman. You know, like, I just don't want
to
do that.
Like, it was interesting to hear Candy describe herself as an Afro-Latino, because there's a lot of politics with how people identify within the Latinx community as to whether they're white, black, or this, that, and the other. But it was like two people of color arguing with one another. So I don't know if we're going to get the same, I mean, we'll still get a racist edit no matter what. This is America. But I don't know if we're going to have, if Tamisha had been coming after Elliot, let's say, I think it may have been, I think the reaction
Well, that makes me
different.
Feel a little bit better.
Elliot could never. She knows.
She should never.
Tamisha, yeah. Did you see how Elliot was like very like, I'm not coming for you, girl. I'm on your side. You know, like, people may think that I'm rude sometimes, but, like, I feel you.
I'm sure the tensions are so, and you're so tired and your feet fucking hurt, your wig is yanking, and you're like, listen, bitch. No. And I just love that Tamisha was, like, so direct and was like, I'm not playing. I have kids, literally.
But the thing is, like, earlier in the show, she was, like, calling the ball, like, doing the ball catch. Categories and everything, and I was like, oh my god, I love her. Mm-hmm. And then,
well, here's the thing. So Tamisha is a good, like, drag mom leader person. She's loving, she's kind. You saw how she talked to Ka Maura Hall earlier. Like, that was like the good side of Tamisha, and I think that she's kind of like not dealing with the bullshit. I mean, first of all, to go to the Millie challenge and then the starting to work moment. This was a weird episode because the mini challenge was so stupid. The only thing that was interesting right. about it was that Rosé, for some reason, had brought a baby costume. Like, that's so specific. I was like, damn, girl. Right. You didn't. Like,
I love
I mean,
that.
I guess you don't know if the that mini was so challenge funny. Is the main challenge when you're, like, preparing. But I was just like, she's really trying to win this situation. And it was a dumb mini challenge. It was over in a minute. And then all of a sudden we learned that the queens have to do 36 looks. And if Tamisha Iman had not made that voguing moment happen, I would have been like shitting myself yeah. because I would be like, how are these girls going to pull off 36 looks? That's a lot of looks.
And the first two they brought with them, right? Is that
I think
true?
So.
Okay. Then that's how.
The middle one was like a combo because they had to like infuse and accessorize.
Girl, that was so
with that
stupid.
Giant, ugly Stick coach.
Like a Hobby
clutch.
Lobby 13 on a coach
that
bag.
That looked so bad. And why add a coach bag to it when
Money.
Half the colors available don't go with the outfit they brought?
Capitalism.
That was a misstep for coach.
You know what? I feel so dumb. So I know a bunch of guys that work at coach, so I should have just texted them to like. See if mm-hmm. they know anything about this Drag Race collab. So I'll text them when we get done with this podcast, and maybe I'll get a little insider tea.
Yeah,
well,
but those bags were horrifying.
They're known to be very
grotesque.
Tacky, so
I thought they were known for their
job.
Progressive values.
Well, okay, but yeah. How pissed was Olivia that she had to carry a large purse down the runway for the first time?
Oh my god,
she's mad.
Triggered.
Yeah, her arm is like.
Finally, her hand looked dainty.
Okay, well, we need to. We're clearly going to have to shift gears to talk about the runway. But before we do that, okay, talk about the bamboozlement of like how they describe characters, because Lala Ree reveals that Tamisha is like barely her drag mom. She put her in drag way back when.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like she came back to drag in a different way, and so like their drag daughter, mm-hmm. drag mother relationship is very tangential. It's kind of like Alaska and Nebraska.
Girl, okay.
Eye roll for those listening.
It was much less than the Meet the Queens made it yeah. sound. Because Tamisha even said like, yeah, she's my drag daughter.
They were trying to make a storyline yeah. out of that. And then when
totally,
it got
totally.
There, they were like, we'll give you our own storylines, honey.
I thought they were going to try to pull the thing yeah. where they were going to make them lip sync against each other. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Drag mom
well,
versus drag daughter.
First of all, I knew whoever mm-hmm. was going to go up against Lala was going to lose because
we've been performing with Lala for like years, you know, back when she was Lariko
okay.
and just did androgyny performances.
Oh, so Lala's wow. been, so how long has Lala been doing? I'm confused. So she did androgynous lip syncing?
Probably like 6 years.
Lala was like very androgynous. Like
never put on a wig.
Never, ever, ever put on a wig. With like.
Oh, that's why she's so good at makeup without a wig.
That's why she felt comfortable with her damn titties popping out in a corset. It was like original yeah. Lala. I was like, wow, that's kind of full circle actually. Because this bitch used to get booked at the gigs to look like
right.
that, you know, just
okay.
bald headed and heels and such a fierce dancer.
She didn't learn how to do her makeup
no,
till
oh,
like
wow.
maybe a year and a half ago. Because like
oh,
even
wow.
when you were judging
oh,
her in that pageant, Brigitte, in Dragnificent, she had people doing her makeup mm-hmm. backstage, which was 2 years ago.
Damn, I forgot about
that. Isn't
that
gauche? I mean, is that like frowned upon?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, it's actually very common in like the black pageant scene is to have someone do your makeup. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like, just part of
yeah, that's
the gig.
What,
they'll
that's
have
what,
someone
what's
come
her face
in.
Hall used to do.
Yeah, Jada
Essence Hall, like part mm-hmm. of her, part of the makeup she would mm-hmm. do was pageant makeup.
Yeah, like I mean, there's a queen here who is always painting. Angeria is always painting someone's mug. You know what I mean? Like she'll go to a gig just to do someone's makeup and this and that. I'm like, that's really cool. But also, like, don't you want to do your own makeup? Like,
yeah, that I mean, to me, that sounds like the same thing as if you're going into pageants and you don't do your own makeup, are you going on to Drag Race without learning to sew?
Yeah,
like that's how I feel like it would play to people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why didn't you learn this? You know,
I don't know. It's so interesting. But again, there are no rules. But
yeah,
if you're like, if you only have an hour to get ready for a gig, you should be able to do that. I don't know.
I agree. So, okay. So, you know, Lala, clearly Lala has come a long way, but the performance has always been there. See, she made it seem from the amount of time that she was doing drag, in the promos that she was like a super baby queen.
But if no, ma'am.
If you've been performing, you know, androgynously for over 6 years, that's a different type of performer. So I feel a little misled.
No, but she was not painting her mug, though. Oh, she was okay.
But she was lip syncing.
She was like, true. Getting, like...
So maybe like fully operational drag queen only a couple of years. I don't know, but she works, she's a lips girl. So anyone working at lips is like making bank and doing drag and buying costumes. And she's just always been super talented.
And very sweet.
Very
you can,
sweet.
Yeah, so you can pick up those things along the way. You can learn the makeup and the whatever, but like she has the raw talent, star quality. For sure.
Oh my God.
You know, we were on a TV show together, Doom Patrol, hey, season one.
What's Doom
Patrol? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh
we were in that episode with Matt Bomer and we were the backup dancers in the Danny Street.
Oh, I need
season.
To move to Atlanta.
Well,
you're
I
just
was
like
on the
on
episode
everything.
Of Lovecraft Country.
Hello.
Yes. Bitch.
Oh yeah,
with Lala.
Oh
Lala
okay,
wasn't on
she
that
books.
Episode.
She books.
Oh, okay.
Wait, Lala also was in Lovecraft?
No, I don't.
Oh, you were. Oh, you're she? Making a point. You're like, but not with Lala, honey.
Ella was. Ella was in the scene where they went to like the drag ball or whatever.
Oh, that's awesome! So cool. Wow.
Okay, so then, very cool. What do you? So obviously you know Lala, but did you also know Tamisha before she got on the show?
No, that's why I'm like, who the. I feel like I know everybody, but there is like one kind of small, like the Marquette or like the
Stars of the
Stars
Century,
of the Century crowd. Those are more of like even like Giselle Barbie Royale performs there. It's like that elite.
They're like the elite black pageant girls that there's a show called Stars of the Century that's been, I think it's probably the oldest show that's been going on. And it happens on a Monday night and black folks always go to
always it. Always packed. Hundreds of dollars being thrown on these queens. Like people just going to the front. Like
pageant, title pageant winners. Like they're just there. And they will give you ballots with gorgeous dresses and just get money will become raining down on
there's
them.
There's male performers. It's all of that. It's like that whole
but this is
scene.
What I mean by like it's different in the South. Like I felt like, cause when I went to Dallas a couple years ago and it just so happened to overlap with a big pageant that happens at the Roundup. And I mean, maybe it was Miss Continental or something like that, but like something like that. And so it was this big drag pageant happening in Dallas. And when I'm telling you that this woman in a white, like, you know, like church suit, basically outfit, just came and just not given much other than, you know, like half the song, because the other half of the song was just a line of gay men just with money. And then she's like, thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. She just
and
came
I and- used to read, but that's kind of what started me. I was like, I can do drag. And I was just, but it's like, you have to be so legendary for that to happen to you. Like she probably won some pageants and, you know, for you to just stand there doing your number and thank you, baby. That is like the top. That's
up here.
That's like almost Drag Race level. And these bitches like have created that stardom for themselves, which is so fierce.
That's awesome.
But probably took so much unrecognized moments, so much money that they'll never get back. I mean, these bitches invest thousands of dollars into pageants.
So I went down a deep dive last week and watched old Tamisha Mon videos from her pageants. Oh, they are sickening, honey.
I know.
Shauna Brooks was in a lot of those, and Siobhan
Scott.
Tamisha,
you know me. I know, like that thing was like has been her catchphrase for like 25 years. Like what she says when she enters the workroom.
I wish she'd bring some of that mug back, though.
I know, girl. What's going on with
the makeup? Does not match.
It's okay.
Oh,
I mean, it's good for a show, but it's just like, and that wig she wore for her.
She got critiqued.
Her wig
like
flat.
Finally, kind of, you know.
Honey, you should the homemade look or whatever should have had the like pageant loaf on the head. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
give us some of that.
It was far less than I expected.
Yeah,
honestly.
I was like, that is
shocking. You know what? I think that she is probably used to getting ready and like taking a long time.
If Denali could glue those tacky ass crystals to her face, then she could have smoked out that eye.
Those were not crystals. Those were nails. She was using her nails. Did you not clock that?
I could. That's why I didn't look cute. Is that what you're saying?
No, but I'm just saying like everyone's like it's like Denali didn't plan that outfit. Like that was clearly Denali had some cute nails.
I see.
You know.
But still, that takes, like, that's enough time for Tamisha. Like, I'm thinking about gluing each one on. They had, it wasn't a quick change by any means. I mean, I've changed full looks during 1 6-minute mega mix at some other bitch's performance. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to do that. But again, who am I?
Who are we? Who are we?
I'm not famous yet.
So let's get to the ball, which I will refer to as the Cruella de Vil, Glenn Close, Miranda Priestly convention, where other things happen.
Yeah. No, ma'am.
You know what I mean?
I hear that.
It was not draggy enough for the drag ball.
It was not. You know what I mean? Because we had the categories, and some people came there with some, like, season one, you know, executive realness. And
it's a no for me.
I thought that whole executive category was, like, so weak.
For the
most part.
Except for
poor
Got
Joey
Meg.
J, y'all.
Got Meg great. Yeah.
Poor Joey.
Oh, poor Joey J. Poor
I mean,
Joey
but we knew
J.
this would happen,
She's
right?
out of her league. Yeah, oh, we knew
we
it was happening.
We saw that coming. From the entrance look.
Because either during the Meet the Queens, it was going to be like hit or miss. And then like as soon as those chicken feathers came out and then we got like the triple bodysuit extravaganza.
The ponytail was questionable.
Oh
as
my God.
Too. I was like, who snatched that back for you, girl?
She did, and you can tell.
She
wasn't
get a
looking.
To go behind you and do the elastic.
Oh,
and
Lord.
No, you need sisters. Or brothers or whatever the fuck, I don't know.
Well, you know what? You know what's really shady? If Candy really had a crush on Joey, she would have helped her with that. Well, Candy can't really do hair, but she would have gotten someone to do the hair.
Oh, I
know. Yeah, what was that moment where Candy was just like, Joey.
I'm so.
Is this your dress? Is this your dress? I mean, what was that moment? That was
the
so
producers
weird.
Being like, hey, can you go over there and like. We're writing this storyline where y'all are like a thing. So
okay, but wait.
You
can
tell that they were pushing it because they zoomed in on her
Got
face
Mick,
when Joey was
lovely
home.
And
mm-hmm.
Utica.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Utica's Absolutely. So talented, mm-hmm. and anyone
oh,
who can
yeah.
dress
yeah.
for their body
you mean tall
is
and
like
skinny
my
or
queen.
Short
like,
and skinny.
No, but she did. The proportions were so right. It could have
yeah,
flopped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that little fringe on the edge of the dress, mm-hmm. not at the bottom. But
she really does expertly combine camp and glamour, I think, and fashion. Mm. I think she's really, really good at that.
Underestimated
but also,
her.
Like, I think that like
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of like delusion happening, and this happens frequently in RuPaul's Drag Race, right? So you come in, you're a drag queen, you're good in your own thing, you prepped all these outfits and do the challenge, and then you like think that like you're the best thing since sliced bread. In Untucked, Denali was like, I think I did really well, blah, blah, blah. She came out looking like Cruella Miranda Priestly, but like
with
not
the enough. Nail, bitch.
Yeah, with the nail.
Girl, that's what you thought was like, going to send you over the top?
the
right.
smallest
that
thing
That was one
on
thing.
Outfit. Also, I mean, if you really wanted to go for that, like there should have been a solid streak of white in your hair instead of like whatever her wig
well,
situation
the
was.
The thing is that you can tell that she doesn't have a sense of her at drag aesthetic. Like she was just trying to like the make everything she's brought is like she wants it to be like the biggest or the flashiest or whatever, but it's like who are you? How does this fit into your aesthetic? And you don't get
yeah,
it.
No
so
theme.
That's why I'm not sold on her
yeah.
yet. I know that she's
yeah,
a fierce
yeah.
performer, but I'm like, okay.
Well, she's trying to sell Mexico a little bit, but not enough. You know, she's not Valentining it up, you know, and being like really specific with her Mexican references. It's like when it's convenient. But she's also from Alaska. So I think that there's part of this, like, she's like traveled around.
Yeah.
Stuff is different. But
I don't know. I feel so weird criticizing them because, like, I've never been on the show.
That's true.
But obviously, you know, we have opinions
yeah,
that are valid.
And that's what we're here to do.
But she is just not. Doing it, she's not doing it for me, and I feel
no,
so
like
bad.
I said, she's a sickening performer.
Yeah,
but
she's
you just
star.
Know whenever you
star.
Have that aesthetic, when you like Brigitte, I know your aesthetic. Like you would go on and like wear a bunch of separates. Like that's what you do. Like
she'd give a little blue
I would go and wear a bunch of caftans. That's what I do. Like
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Denali just feels like she's going through the motions sometimes where it's like, this is what you think drag should be versus like, this is
the crash
who
test
I
dummy,
am.
Though. I did like.
I'm
yeah,
getting. Oh, I thought mm-hmm. that was really smart.
But she also,
really
she also
cute.
Said it
but
was.
But same
she
thing.
Said
I mean,
Mugler when I was like, that's Alexander McQueen.
It was neither.
No, but like, if she wanted to really give a reference, it was the crocodile look from Alexander McQueen. I didn't get Terry Mugler from that situation. I see. I was like,
I thought it was General Motors.
Okay, so I'm not Olivia's biggest fan, but I just thought that that executive moment was a little confusing for me. Like the weird tie thing with the thing and the red wig. I was just like,
I wish I had her picture.
Oh, and then she had the little the clam diggers on. Mm-hmm. It was a no for me. I mean, I also feel the same way about her, is that like I can't quite get her aesthetic.
Well, she's gorgeous, she's young, and she's kind of do a lot of different things. But it's not yet, like, one thing. You know what I mean?
She would probably drive me crazy, like, oh, you do?
This is so fun.
Like, I'm just so happy. Like, I actually love
writing songs. She's already
driving
me crazy. During Untucked, she was like, what did she say? Yeah. She's like, you know, like, being safe in this competition is not great because, like, you're losing an opportunity to, like, Girl. Get in front of these judges. And I was like, Untucked basically started, and it was like everyone who was safe being mad that they made it to the next episode, except Bitch. For Simone and Tina Burner. What? And I was like, these are my real bitches, because Simone was sitting there being like, dodge the bullet, bitches, and you're
being
you
grateful.
Better be scared, because every other challenge I may do better. And then Tina was like, I didn't expect to win everything, but I did pretty well during this challenge. Thank you. Moving along.
That's the best attitude.
Mm-hmm. Like, hello, you get paid for each episode you're on.
Tina Burner needs to wear bigger wigs, too.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. That is true.
Yes,
I'm like,
she does.
Girl, you got them shoulders. Like, it's fine. But, like, wear bigger hair.
Yeah. And this is, like, the opposite direction of the conversation of, I think we're seeing, like, maybe five or so queens who are, like, hovering around their aesthetic, but they haven't nailed it yet. Tina's like on the other side of it, where she has her thing nailed down to the point
it's
where I'm
predictable.
Getting over it.
You know what?
Yeah. To where I'm like, oh, okay, this from Tina again. That's not going to win.
Honestly,
that's
like,
safe at best. But when it gets down to it, if she lasts long enough for girls to get knocked out and then more attention's on her, it's not going to do it.
Thing. Tina at least is serving 100% of who she is, like every day. Like,
yeah.
I've seen nothing. I feel like I even recognize one of the things she wore on the runway from like a performance that I've seen Tina Burner in. She's serving exactly who she is IRL. And like, that's what makes me really happy, because I'm like, I don't see any zhuzhing up for TV. When there's stupid drama going on, she's not like hopping into it. And she's
she was at the end of this episode though.
No.
I was like, bitch, don't coddle that hoe.
Oh, you mean with Candy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they edited out some moment where like somehow they must have critic, because you remember how they took the commercial break, and then when they came back, all of a sudden Tina was telling them to stop. So I think that there must have been some of that conversation that was cut out.
I just want to see her like own her diva a little bit more, like to pretend this is the Tina Burner show. Like, where is my water bottle? You know, like, because on the first episode that, oh, Rosé is here. That was funny.
Or, and when she said like, if it isn't the squad, that was so funny.
I want to see that like manic, like, why is this not my show?
Yeah,
I think it's because Candy's there. Candy sucks all the energy out of the room. Everything's about Candy. Remember
she's
at the
so
end of
intense.
Untucked, where she came back, she's like, girls, I need to leave, blah blah blah. Candy is the head bitch in charge.
Yeah.
And Gottmik
I can't
being
stand
like,
her.
What up, guys?
But I love that Tanisha, instead of just thinking, like, listening to this bitch carry on, like, well, hold on, there's 12 bitches in the room.
Mm-hmm. Because Candy
step
is so young.
Luck, contestant number 12, please step back in line.
Candy's, like, talking out of her ass any chance she gets. And I'm glad somebody's there telling her. And Rosé's kind of doing it a little bit, but much more friendly and diplomatic, of saying, like, girl, you got to chill. You're saying all this stuff when at best you're safe.
She's just waiting for her Adam Joseph
Shut up, bitch.
To come out from
B. Ames is
whatever sound bites. Do you think I'll be arrogant?
She came out with merch. Did
She's
you
gonna
see
that?
I thought you should have been the bottom, Elliot. Every time I'm like, subtitles.
She came out with like a little necklace that says arrogant, like
oh, she
merch.
Did? Oh, really? Oh, my God. I'm over it. Well, you know what? I don't think... I think that... I do think that Candy has been defending herself very profusely, probably because of what happened. But I don't know if she's on the right side of history yet, in terms of what happened on the show. But it's also a TV show, so who cares? We love it. It's good drama.
Yeah.
I'm gonna you are the jury and the judges, and I would like to make a case for Nicole Byer being a permanent guest.
I was gonna say the same thing.
And here is why.
She's so good, so funny.
And I quote, because she is on there where she is the voice of reason number one, but she's also giving the opinion of what a viewer or like a major fan would have. And she's enough a member of the community to be able to talk like in a kind way, but like in a real way. And here are some choice Nicole quotes. Mm-hmm. Mm. I thought it was poison ivy. So next time someone says, is it this? Just lie.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Also,
sound advice.
Why not cut or do something so it's not just literal bags being glued on your body? Maybe
the worst thing ever on RuPaul's Drag Race runway ever.
I mean,
literally.
Oh my god, she sprayed herself with spray adhesive and rolled on the
there
floor.
Was no movement, there was no, but like, they were just
there was no rhyme or reason either. There was
at least two stripes.
Oh my
pink,
god,
purple,
and Lala Ri is not good at improv, so she
whatever
save herself.
Girl,
okay, two more, just listen to this, yeah, because this she was killing me. She's like, and who's she talking about here? Okay, it doesn't even matter. But she's like, and then the second look, I thought it was like, okay, it's a blazer, some leggings. We got some pumps. What else? The third look, I thought it was fun. Did I think it was, you know, mind-blowing? No, but I appreciated there was hair.
Joey J.
Yes, Joey J.
At least she wore a wig.
And you know how we feel about the ponytails. Okay, last quote. And I'm like, you made this in the same time that Lala Ri glued bags on herself. That's incredible.
Girl.
I mean, every single judgment is a winner. Mm-hmm. that Nicole.
She's like my favorite person
out.
In life.
But
I
you
love
know how,
her so
it's
much.
Not mean. She's just, it's just like, it's just, it's funny.
Cause she's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She's not making you feel bad. She's. And critiquing, but it's fun and it's a
well,
joke.
Well, even her
like,
explaining why she's such a fan of the show. Wait, that happened, right?
Yeah. No, she was,
yeah. It showed that she was wanting to be constructive and like as someone who has made a career for themselves, almost like a drag queen host or something, she's able to give real advice on like developing your character, getting ahead, making the right choices to like, she wants him to succeed. She's not there just to be a bitch.
I mean, look, we all know that Nicole Byer is, I mean,
a
she's
drag
head
queen.
Bitch I see. She is a drag queen. She's a drag queen. She's fam. She gets it. You know, she, if you look at all of the stuff that she does, she's bringing in family into all of her shows and lifting up all her friends. And anyone that does that is more than welcome on a RuPaul's Drag Race TV show. Also,
hell yeah.
Kudos to Lala Ri for owning everything. Everything that, and you know,
making
and,
it
you know,
sexy
splits,
and funny.
But when Lala Ri did her split on this mother runway, she said,
bitch,
look at it, like
no,
it.
No, bitch. Yeah. When she picked up those yeah. dollar bills,
when she picked
and...
up the dollar bills,
that was my favorite part. It's my she... favorite part. Oh my god, because Joey was like, oh, I'm gonna wow them, yeah. I'm gonna throw money in the air, and everybody was like, okay. And then she picked mm-hmm. it up and made it a moment.
I was
taking
so
notes. I was like, how to win a lip sync. Start strong and show that you mean it in full character. Give more energy than mm-hmm. your opponent. Yeah. Act as if they don't exist, which she did for like the first like third of the song. Then yeah. don't worry about your mm-hmm. clothes. Just freaking rip it apart, throw blah, 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 surface. Mm-hmm. Make fun of
especially
your opponent, which she did. Mm-hmm. And then, like also stalk them on the stage. Do you notice the number of times that bitch upstaged Joey J? She was going like, oh, you're going mm-hmm. left? Okay, we're going right now. And then she was staking up all of that damn space. Then she's like, if you split, soak it in. Make sure that they feel that moment. And when she did it and she was like kind of like bopping back and forth like she was riding somebody, I was like, yes, it feels good, thank you. And then she ended with a button and I was just like, this is like I was like, where is Kamora Hall to like clap after
crushed
this lip sync, because like it was good.
She's at home.
Girl, she slayed and she gave us the Lala Ri experience as we all knew she would, and I'm so proud of her. Like, get it. Now she's gonna be a damn lip sync assassin mm-hmm. on All Stars 24.
I mean, she basically is like, this was like her advertisement. People are gonna mm-hmm. be like, people are gonna be like busting down the doors to like go see a Lala Ri performance.
And she's always had that super expressive face and eyes and shit. Like she would do these Fantasia numbers that were so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's who she'll do for Snatch Game.
She should. I've seen her. Man. Like she can, she's so intricate with her lip syncing that she can like lip sync to the melismas on the singer's voice.
She's insane.
Amazing.
I live for that bitch.
Can't wait to see more.
Okay.
She's okay.
We are running out of time, girls. Who could take the crown? One person. Do not explain yourself.
Who's on this season again?
I know, right? This is All Stars / season 13. Because everyone's a star.
Simonier? Sure.
Raven Simonier? Like
she's already won.
Mine, she's still my choice, wow. Too.
Mm-hmm. Who else is the whole god?
Got Mick was sickening. I mean, that fashion was like, okay, you're not just a look queen. You're really
Got Mick will go far. Got Mick will
Simone.
Go far.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Simone is the real, I mean, she's the full fantasy.
And Utica. I love Utica.
Yes.
Like,
me too.
She has questionable taste
I
sometimes.
Agree.
As I'm just like reeling over her design challenge, but like the stoner look or the strawberry.
Yeah, that was not
and
it.
The wig. So there are chips fair. In the armor.
So me, John?
Oh, sorry. So what I want to say is I have to say someone different, so I will make a plug for Rosé, but I'm telling you, they are Jan and her up the house down. I even wrote down when I saw Utica come out in that gorgeous sleeping bag dress, I was like, they're gonna make Rosé top three, and she's gonna lose again, and she's gonna have to be like, thank you, Rosé.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank
you. I saw it coming, and that was a bummer because I liked Rosé's design. Her mm-hmm. created outfit more than got mixed.
She's turning into the Jackie look. Cox of this season. You know, always a bridesmaid, never
Who, Rosé?
Bride. Yeah.
Jackie
she's not
Cox.
A, she's
Bless
no longer
heart.
A Jan because Jan didn't finish this high, but she's definitely becoming the Jackie Cox of like all the talent, but like, you know, she can't get past the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is life.
Okay.
Brigitte, Ella, this has been amazing. You two are you are just quality, just fun, kiki, everything. I'm so sad we can't have you every week, but I'm so glad that I can listen to Good Judy and just listen to like the melodious tones of your voice, you know, bi-weekly.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, can I talk now, Brigitte?
No, I'm gonna continue.
Okay, that's cool. You go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Age before beauty.
Oh, then you should go.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. Like, this is so sweet. It's a nice little thing to do on our Saturday afternoon, and to see all you lovely people, to see some different people besides Brigitte.
Yes, and now you have two new sisters in Atlanta.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, anytime y'all come, we'll show you a good time.
Yes, you know what? We keep saying we're going to have a world tour once everybody's vaccinated,
US
and that
tour.
Includes places in the United States, such as Atlanta.
Yes, and thank you for your very sweet words about the podcast and the stuff that we're doing. Like, we really appreciate you supporting us and then also inviting us to be here today. So that was really awesome.
Yeah, it was like, I didn't think that anyone besides that didn't live in Atlanta would listen to the podcast. So just to know we have a fan that's out there in New York City.
Oh, hell yes. I need all of the exports from Georgia to like go nationwide and across the globe. I mean, there's nothing but talent coming out of that state. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find you, stalk you, tip you, all those good things, just before we go along our merry way?
I'm accepting dick pics at you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Queen_Ella Rex. Brigitte?
I am Brigitte Bidet.
Spell it.
B-R-I-G-I-T-T-E. Bidet, B-I-D-E-T. Look it the f*** up. I'm on all social media posting content.
Including TikTok.
Brigitte_Bidet if you're on TikTok. But anything else, Venmo, Cash App, Brigitte Bidet. Hit me up. DM me. if you meet my requirements or whatever, which I have really low standards, so hit me up.
I mean, you know, just a casual, you know, minimum of 6 inches, it's fine. You know. Yeah. No, but thank you so much. It is an honor. We will kiki with you again for sure. Thank you for being in Georgia and like holding this ish down, because without you, we literally would not have the country that we have today.
A darker path.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I thought voting was important for me, but in New York, forget it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. In the words of Tatiana.
Tatiana comes around again.
Thank you.
All right, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names have been registered with trademarks and or copyrights to their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.